Brothers, let us move forward, please. We are having to ask this actually every time because of our brothers outside. And the place here is small, mashallah. The people are growing. The number of people is growing, inshallah, mashallah. And we will probably someday need even a bigger place than this one, inshallah. So let us just please come forth, please. Jazakumullah khair. And those who come in the back, please just come forth and leave space in the back for whoever will come after. There's plenty of space here inside, in this side here, please. Jazakumullah khair. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alih and his family wa sahbih and his companions wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawm al-deen and whoever follows their way with goodness till the day of judgment. Man yahdihi allahu fala mudilla lah. Whoever Allah guides, no one shall be able to misguide him. Wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. And whoever Allah allows to go astray, he will not find anybody else to guide him. Meaning, Whoever rejects the guidance of Allah and whoever shows no interest whatsoever in even seeking or asking the guidance of Allah, he's totally not interested. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow him to go his way. But then he will not find anybody else to lead him aright in this world, and he will be accountable for his choice in the Day of Judgment. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not grant him light, he will not find any other source of light. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. And we bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship in this universe except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no partners. ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today we complete the last part of covering the meaning of the adhan. Although we are talking about the adhan, the call to the prayer, but we are really covering major principles in Islam. Major principles in Islam. In the first sermon, the first khutbah, we discussed the meaning of Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is most great. Allah is most great. And Islam is asking each and every one of us to look into the universe, use his mind, and conclude for himself that Allah is the most great in this universe. And once one has realized that, then he should be ready to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most great in this universe. And you cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way he deserves, except through the religion of Islam. And to enter into the religion of Islam, you have to say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. And these are the two other things that we discussed in the last two khutbas. What does it mean when you say أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, and what does it mean when you say وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله? So by repeating that in the adhan yourself, you are basically reconfirming your attachment to this religion. You are reconfirming your attachment to this religion. And then the last portion of the adhan talks about Hayya ala salah. Come on to the prayer. Hayya ala salah. Come on to the prayer. Hayya ala al-falah. Come on to the success. Hayya ala al-falah. Come on to the success. Islam is telling you that through the prayer, through the salah, you will find your way to success. And remember, in Islam, success does not mean only this short life. This short life is the beginning of the next life. This life as well as the hereafter. When Islam discusses success, it doesn't talk about success only in the hereafter while leaving someone to be a failure in this universe, in this life. No. Islam leads Muslims to success in the hereafter as well as this life. So today, what I would like to talk about, if Muslims establish the prayer, perform the prayer the way it should be, how could that lead them to success in addition to the hereafter also in this life? How? We said that the intention of this khutbah about the adhan is that we would really like to achieve that when any one of us hears the adhan, that he translates it into something practical in his life. That he sees the adhan as a correction. Get back to the true path. Oh, you're deviating, get back. Five days reminder to get back to the true path. Let us talk now about As-salah. As-salah, the prayer, is the only command in Islam which has been decreed directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not through Jibreel alayhi salam. It's the only command. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had called Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through al-Isra والمعراج in the ascension to the heavens, and there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the prayer directly to him. This signifies the importance of as-salah. As-salah is the second most important pillar in Islam. After you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, after you believe in it and you practice it. Practice it, put it in action. Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Put it in action after you've stated it verbally. And then, as-salah, establish as-salah. As-salah in Arabic comes from the root word sila, meaning connection. Whenever you are in as-salah, you are in direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Direct. No intermediaries. Direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salah is the first reason that people in the hellfire in the day of judgment mention as a cause for them to have gone to hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إلا أصحاب اليمين في جنات يتساءلون عن المجرمين ما سلككم في سقر قالوا لم نك من المصلين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us about a scene in the Day of Judgment, a scene in paradise. The people of the right, the people of the right hand side, those who receive their book of deeds in the right hand side in the Day of Judgment, the people of the right, they would be sitting with one another, inquiring about the people who entered the hellfire. And they would say, what about those criminals who got into the hellfire? They would ask them, what got you into the hellfire? The people in the hellfire would respond. They would say, we were not amongst those who used to pray. We were not amongst those who used to pray, in addition to other things. But this is the first reason that is mentioned. As-salah also is one of the biggest reasons for deleting our misdeeds. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do you see if one of you had a river passing in front of his door and he bathes in this river five times a day? He bathes in this river five times a day. Would any dirt remain on his body? Would any dirt remain on his body? The companion said, no, Messenger of Allah, no dirt would remain on his body. Five times a day bathing in the river. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and similarly, through the five daily prayers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deletes your misdeeds. So whatever misdeeds you have committed between Fajr prayer and Dhuhr prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deletes those. We are not talking about major sins here, so that we do not get misunderstood. If there are major sins like you've eaten up somebody's rights, you've oppressed somebody, no. Islam teaches us responsibility. Islam is a religion of responsibility. Islam does not tell us you become Muslim and you get away with murder. No. Islam tells you go back and correct what you've done. Return the rights to their people. We are talking about things that are between you and Allah. Things that are between you and Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat those. Will forgive those for you. To be successful in your life, the intention of as-salah is for the Muslim to be outside the prayer like he is inside the prayer. Let us see how we perform our prayer. In the beginning, we have to clarify our intention. I mean, you don't necessarily have to say it with your lips, but you have an intention when you want to pray. Why am I praying and who am I praying for? For us now, it has become automatic. For us now, it has become automatic that we are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know whom am I praying to. I know why I'm praying. Similarly, if you apply that to any job that you do in life, if you ask somebody, why have you opened up this business? And he would say, I don't know. And you tell him, why are you driving this way? He would say, I don't know. And he would tell him, why are you doing this? And he would say, I don't know. Would that ever be successful in life? Of course not. I mean, he's going astray. Anybody, any Muslim who wants to do something, he needs to decide, why do I want to do that? In fact, Islam tells us that an-niyya is the most important thing in Islam. You are rewarded according to your niyya. You start a salah with niyya, intention, and therefore any deed that you do in life, let your intention be the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it is making business, even if it is pleasing your wife, make your intention, I'm doing that to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you are going to be rewarded for that. So, you clarify the objective, your niyyah, your intention, for anything else you want to do in life, because this is what I do in my prayer. And also, we seek the direction of Qibla. Before I pray, am I in the right side? Am I in the right direction? Same way, anything that you do in life, check, is that taking you in the right direction that you want to be in? Is that going to lead me in the direction that I want to be in, that Islam wants me to be in? Check any deed that you want to do. Does it lead you to the direction? Does it put you in the direction that you want to be in? Inside as-salah, we maintain at-tahara, purity of the body, cleanliness, in addition to spiritual cleanliness. Outside the prayer, we should also be clean. The Muslim is clean. There is no religion in the whole world that talks about cleanliness and makes rules for it, like Islam. So the Muslim is clean, also outside. Inside the prayer, there is Quran. And outside the prayer, we should also remain attached to the Quran. We should not desert the Quran outside the prayer. The Quran should be with us, even outside the prayer. Inside as-salah, there is dhikr. There is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Outside as-salah, our moist, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa, our tongue, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, should remain moist with the remembrance of Allah. Our tongue should remain moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at somebody praying, if you just watch, he looks, the way he looks, you see that he is in a status of dignity and humbleness. He's humbling himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Outside the prayer, the Muslim is also keeping his look of dignity and humbleness. The Muslim is humble. He is not humble, looking humble in the prayer and then acting like a tyrant outside. No. In the prayer, you are practicing for how you should be outside. When you are performing the prayer, you are renewing hope. You are opening a new page, a new white page with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are realizing, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that by performing this prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall delete, erase my misdeeds that I have done before. So, a new hope for a new page with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, when you are outside, keep the hope. Keep the hope, don't ever lose hope. The Muslim is not a person who despairs. The Muslim is the one who's always renewing hope. If you make a mistake with your wife or with a friend, renew the hope that I'm going to go back and correct that and start a new page. Just like you open a new page for yourself, you need to open a new page with others who might have wronged you or who have done something that did not please you. Open new pages of hope for a new, more healthy relationship with others. As-salah is a new hope for everything. As-salah teaches us that we should not be afraid of the creatures, of anybody, except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, says, مَنْ صَلَّ الصُّبْحَ فَهُوَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ فَانْظُرْ يَبْنَ آدَمْ لَا يَطْلُبَنَّكَ اللَّهُ مِنْ ذِمَّتِهِ بِشَيْءٍ. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, who prays Fajr, the Fajr prayer, As-Subh, then he is going to be under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all day. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like threatening, saying, be careful, son of Adam, let Allah not call you to account for harming or doing wrong to anyone that is under his protection. So the person who prays al-Fajr prayer, he feels that I am in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all day. So I'm not going to be afraid of anybody. I am in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I performed the Fajr prayer today. And they say a story that a student, a child, a child, probably 8 or 9 years old, one day he went to the school not doing his homework. So the teacher said, you are going to be punished today. So the child said, well, teacher, if I were you, I wouldn't do that. And he said, why? He said, well, my father reads always for us a hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we just read today here, that whoever prays al-Fajr prayer, then he is going to be under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all day. And Allah threatens whoever attempts to harm somebody who is under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's up to you now. So the teacher said, well, fine, go back to your seat and don't get me in trouble with you today. As-salat impacts the Muslim's life. Whenever the caller to the prayer, al-mu'addin, says, hayya ala as-salah, hayya ala al-falah, come on to the prayer, come on to success. He's talking about success. Now, if you do not know really what failure is, and what failure will lead you to, you will really never know what is success or the value of success. So if you're not in the path of success, then you must be in the path of failure. What is failure? What is failure? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts things in perspective for us. And he tells us what is the real failure? What is the real failure in this life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَى ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. Say, the real losers are those who lose themselves and their families in the day of resurrection. This is indeed the ultimate loss. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Asr, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. وَالْعَصْرِ, by the time, Allah swears by the time, Allah swears by whatever He wants. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Man is indeed in loss. This is the rule. Man is indeed in loss, except there is an exception. Except those who believe, do righteous good deeds, and they urge one another to remain standing firm on the path of truth, and they urge one another to be patient and persevere. Meaning, the real loss in this life, brothers and sisters, is the loss that leads us to lose our families and children and ourselves in the day of judgment. We lose ourselves into the hellfire. So the path of success that the mu'adhin is calling us for, the path of success, حي على الفلاح, come on to the success. It is the path that actually saves us from this loss. It saves us. It directs us to the people who will help us and urge us to be on the straight path. As in Surah Al-Asr, it will direct us in life to head in the right path, which takes us away from the path of failure. As-salah also keeps people out of trouble. People who put themselves in trouble all the time, they're not going to be successful people. As-salah just puts people out of trouble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. As-salah prevents evil speech and evil deeds. What puts people in trouble? more than evil speech and evil deeds. So a Muslim who is establishing the prayer the way he should, he wouldn't be saying evil speech or performing evil deeds, and therefore he will even keep himself out of trouble. As-salah keeps the Muslim to be punctual, respects the time. The Muslim, as-salah teaches the Muslim nation to be a nation that's punctual, a nation that respects time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Indeed, the prayer has been decreed upon the believers a decree of specified times. Of specified times. You will realize, my brother and sister in Islam, that when you die, you will find the salah there to help you. When the Muslim dies, two places weep for his death. Two places. When the righteous person, when the righteous Muslim dies, two places weep for his death. One place on earth and one place in the heavens. Abdullah ibn Abbas, in his tafsir for ayat, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنظَرِينَ. The ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran about the people of Fir'aun. So neither the heaven nor the earth wept on them, nor were they given respite. They were not given any more chances. Finish. For the people of Fir'aun. They were extracted from their roots. So somebody went to Abdullah ibn Abbas and he said, so if Allah says that neither the heaven nor the earth cried, wept for the people of Fir'aun, so does this mean that the earth or the heaven cry for anybody's death? Abdullah ibn Abbas said yes. When the believer dies, the place where he was prostrating, the place where he was making sujood, when he dies, he misses him. That place misses him. So it weeps for him. Because this place that you are prostrating on, it also itself makes tasbih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. And Allah, there is not a thing except it praises Allah, it makes tasbih, but you do not comprehend their way of praising Allah. So this place that you are prostrating on, it feels that there's something in common between you and it, which is praising Allah. It was feeling happy that you're always there to pray. And when you die, it misses you, it weeps for you. And the place that the gate in as-sama, the gate in heaven, that your good deeds and your prayer was going through, ascending, that's going to get closed now because there are no more deeds coming up for you. So it weeps for you. The people of Fir'aun, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, they did not do anything good in this life on earth, nor did any good deeds rise up for them, so neither the earth nor the heavens wept for them. When you are in a grave, as-salah will be there to protect you. As-salah will be there to protect you. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when the believer is placed in the grave, and then his companions just bury him and go away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return his soul for him, and then he will be able to hear the footsteps of the people leaving the graveyard. And then, now this is going to be a time when he's going to be in tests, right? I mean, there are two angels come and ask him, and now he's either going to be rewarded, and this is now the beginning of either reward or punishment. Now, that's where things start. Hayat al-Barzakh, the life of the grave. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, as-salah stands up just at his head and would say, nothing to get to him through me. Nothing. No harm to get to him through me. As-zakah would stand to his right, would say, no harm to get to him through me. As-sawm, fasting, would stand up to his left and would say, no harm to get to him through me. And then the good deeds and helping of people would stand up there at his legs and would say, nothing to get to him, no harm to get to him through me. And then the Muslim, the believer, would be surrounded by protection from all sides. As-Salah would be the first of those at his head. And in the Day of Judgment, the first thing that you're going to be gauged with is the prayer. Let me give you an example. If you see that there is a body laying there in the street, and then they bring a doctor. The doctor, the first thing he does, he puts his hand on the body. If he sees that there is heat, there is temperature, he decides that he needs to continue. But if he sees that it's cold, just cold, he knows that the man is finished. In the Day of Judgment, the first thing that you're going to be judged is your prayer. If you had prayer, there is prayer for you, then you are going, there's going to be, the taking of the account will continue. But if you fail as far as the prayer is concerned, then the person will be going to hell. A person who lived his life not performing the prayer, then first he will definitely go to hell. But somebody who prayed, established the prayer, then Allah will look into the rest of his deeds. This is the importance of the prayer, brothers and sisters. It only helps the Muslim, not only in the hereafter, but also in this life. If you see somebody, if you see a Muslim performing the prayer 5 times a day, and even in a mosque, but you see him failing in his work, in his life, then you need to check with him what is it that he is not performing right in his prayer. If he corrects his prayer the way we discussed and the way it is intended for him to do it, then I am sure that if he carries that to the rest of his life, he will see that he is able to correct his life. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلنا من عباد الرحمن الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب. We ask Allah to make us of his righteous slaves who listen to the speech and follow the best of it. Those are the ones Allah has guided, and those are the people of understanding. Seek Allah's forgiveness. He is the most merciful of forgiving. And supplicate him, he shall answer you. استغفروا ربكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وادعوه يستجب لكم. Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah, Ghafir al-Dhamm, forgiver of sin, waqabil al-tawb, acceptor of repentance, shadid al-iqab, severe in punishment, al-tawl, owner of abundance, la ilaha illa huwa ilayhi al-masir, there is no God except Him, to Him is our destiny. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, and I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and messenger, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. May Allah be pleased with Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and whoever follows them until the day of resurrection. Talking to our Muslim brothers and sisters who do not pray. My beloved brother, my beloved Muslim brother, why do you not pray? Why do you not pray? Well, he will answer, I'm busy. You know, it is tough these days. Earning a living, to make money, I have to work day and night. There is no time for the prayer. These are some of the arguments that we hear. So we tell this beloved Muslim brother, do you consider that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inferior in your heart than collection of money? Do you consider that money, collection of money and making the dollar and the riyal is greater in your heart than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you accept to be a slave of the riyal and the dinar and the dollar and not a slave to Allah? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ta'isa abdu dirham, ta'isa abdu dinar. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, miserable is the slave of the dinar, of the dirham. Miserable is the slave of the dinar. My Muslim brother, my beloved Muslim brother, why do you not pray? Well, I commit sins. And I just don't seem to be stopping. I'm not stopping the sins. So my prayer is not going to be accepted. Well, we tell him, brother, we're telling you that Islam does not approve of the sins that you're doing, but don't let the sins that you are doing stop you from establishing the prayer. Don't let it. Establish the prayer. And ultimately the prayer will stop you from doing these things. But don't let whatever you are doing, even if what you are doing, it might be as big as any one of us can think of, without giving specific examples. Don't let that make you stop the prayer. Continue to pray, and ultimately the prayer will lead you to correct yourself. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. As-salah indeed stops people, prevents from evil speech and evil deeds. My beloved Muslim brother, why do you not pray? Well, because when I find that when I enter the prayer, my mind proceeds freely. My mind wanders off. And that's not a prayer. So I just decided that I'm just not going to pray because of that. Because I start to pray and then I find myself somewhere else. Started the prayer and then finish, Assalamu alaikum, and I forgot even what I read in the first rukah. We tell him, let that not discourage you. It happens to each and every one of us, to variable extents. Let that not discourage you. Perform the prayer. And if it happens, if you see that you're wandering away, say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, and get into the prayer. It comes by practice. This is a common thing, not only with you, with everybody. Because ash-shaytan knows that this is the most important connection between you and Allah. There is no connection more important between the slave and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the prayer, because it's a direct connection. So he gets in the prayer for you because he wants to not make you benefit from the prayer. Do you not even hear people making some funny stories about what happened to them? There are two business people talking to one another. They were together and then they entered a mosque like this one here, and they prayed Duhur or Isha prayer, one of those prayers. And then as they were coming out, one of them would tell his friend, you know, this my shaitan is really bad. You know where he took me today in the prayer? He said, where? He said, he took me all the way to the industrial area. His friend answered him, my shaitan is a lot worse. He took me all the way to Hong Kong. In another story, they say that Imam was praying, it was Duhur prayer or Isha prayer. And then when he finished, one of the people behind him came to him and said, Imam, you prayed only three rukah, not four. The Imam said, I don't think so. I think I prayed four now. Nobody else alerted me. He said, I am sure you only prayed three, not four. He said, what makes you be sure? He said, look, let me be frank with you. I have four shops. I finished inventorying three and I couldn't get to the fourth one. So brother, let that not discourage you. Let that not discourage you. Get into the prayer and proceed, and let shaitan realize that whatever he does to you, you are continuing with your prayer. Somebody would say, when you tell him, my beloved brother, why don't you come to the mosque and pray? No, I'm just going to pray at home. I'm not going to go to the mosque anymore. He said, why? He said, well, one time, and we hear that, one time I bought brand new pair of shoes. $150, 600 riyals. And I put it out there in the shoe rack, and when I went out, I didn't find it. I decided I will not come back to the mosque and pray. I just pray at home. Well, you will tell him, my brother, what? Accept that as one of the tests. Let it be one of the tests. Do you not accept to trade a pair of shoes with paradise? Let it be that. Do you not accept to trade 10 pairs of shoes for paradise? My Muslim brother, why don't you pray? He would say, well, I don't really like some of the attitude of those people who pray. I don't like their attitude. I mean, some of them are really tough and rough. One day, one of them said, you kafir, why don't you pray? You know, brothers, this is a very serious thing. We have an obligation here. We, people who are praying, people outside look at us as representative of Islam. Whether we like it or not, this is how people look at us, and we need to take that seriously. I heard the Sheikh once saying something that he observed. He said one day he was going to the mosque, and he was a bit late, that he could hear that the mosque had already started the prayer. And then he could see that there was a young man, maybe 17 or 16, standing up in front of the mosque, talking to his friend, while the imam, while the prayer had already started inside. And then he saw his neighbor, the father of that young man, also coming late and passing by. Then he saw his son, instead of going to the mosque, standing up talking to his friend. So the father would tell his teenage son, "You donkey, why don't you go and pray? Matsalli ahmar." So the Sheikh said, I felt my heart was broken. And I just couldn't help but go to the man and say, "Brother, did Allah decree as-salah for donkeys? وَهَلْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ الصَّلَاةَ عَلَى الْحَمِيرِ?" If Allah, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not decree the prayer for donkeys, then if your son is a donkey, then he's not supposed to go and pray. And since he's not a donkey, then you shouldn't be calling him like this. Brothers, this is quite serious. And actions that I and you do are going to be taken against Islam, whether we like it or not. And this should really make us feel the responsibility more and more. My brother in Islam, my brother and sister in Islam, please pray. Pray if you love your parents. Pray if you love your children. Pray if you love your wife. Pray so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept your dua for your parents, whether they are alive or dead. Pray so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept your dua for your children and for your wife, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may gather you all together in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Qul innal khasirin alladhina khasiru anfusahum wa ahlihim yawm al-qiyama, ala thalika wal khusran mubin." Brothers and sisters, I'm going to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللهم إنا ندعوك كما أمرتنا فاستجب لنا كما وعدتنا يا رب العالمين. Allah, our Lord, we are supplicating to you and asking you as you have promised us and asking you as you have ordered us. Allah, our Lord, we are supplicating to you and asking you as you have ordered us. So please answer our call and respond to our invocation as you have promised us. Allah, our Lord, guide us to the straight way, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your grace, not the way of those who earned your anger, nor of those who went astray. Allahumma ya Rabbana ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim, sirata al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dhalin. Allah, make us of those who perform as-salah. Allah, make us of those who perform as-salah. And also from our offsprings, our Lord, and accept our invocation. ربنا اجعلنا مقيم الصلاة ومن ذرياتنا ربنا وتقبل دعاءنا. Allah, guide non-Muslims to Islam and let them see the truth. Allah, guide non-Muslims to Islam and let them see the truth. Allah, make the life of the Muslims, their conduct and manners, be the best representation of the conduct and manners of Islam that please you. I say this and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for all of us. وصلى الله على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.